Yo, listen, it's Platinum Max, part of the Acclaim, the Platinum Playboy, best wrestler alive, and you are rocking with the Bob Culture Podcast. Yo, listen, Platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very special AEW Revolution Predictions panel episode of the BCP. It's late, we're staying up, we're ready to go. We want to talk about all things Sting, all things Sting's last match here at AEW, perhaps his last match ever. So we definitely want to give Sting his flowers here tonight. But guys, we got to talk about this awesome Revolution card. I want to know what you guys think about it in the chat. Let us know. And guys, let's introduce our panel. Guys, please welcome back to the show. He is a BCP OG. He is lay editor-in-chief of the popbreak.com, the very handsome hashtag dad instincts, Mr. Bill Bodkin. Bill, what's up, man?
I think you also forgot to mention that I am a BCP First Ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that, yes.
The one and only Hall of Fame I'm ever going to be in, and I take that as a large honor. Okay. I am here, and I'm very tired, so that means there's going to be some real unhinged thoughts and theories and takes for you. I'm not going to get mad because AEW makes me happy. Just join me for the WrestleMania podcast that I'm always on. There you'll find my anger. It'll be great. It'll be fantastic. Drizzle it on pancakes, folks. I'm selling it at the market. Here we go. What does that mean? Who the fuck knows?
No, he's just getting warmed up. Bill, thanks for making time. And guys, please welcome back to the show. She is also from the popbreak.com, an A-plus player here at the BCP, Miss Amanda Rivas. Amanda, welcome in. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm still mentally in denial that this is Sting's last go round. I'm trying to process it. Obviously, it's and we're going to talk about it. It's well deserved. It's on his terms and I'm happy, but my man though, my favorite wrestler of all time. I'm going to miss him. But we got a great card to talk about, so I'm excited. Normally, I know I do WWE podcasts, so I'm excited to dive into and get back into AEW a little bit, so thanks for having me.
Of course, yeah, you had to be here. I really want to give Sting his flowers tonight. Amanda was sharing some stories off air, so whatever you're comfortable with sharing as we move along, we'll get into that in just a bit. And guys, please welcome back to the show. You know her from, let's see, Kimmy Talks Wrestling, Commentary Warriors of Wrestling, the popbreak.com, BCP, what is it? Did I say Maria Kanellis' personal protege already?
You know, you could also call me something else.
Agent.
I'm an agent now. Actually, not an agent.
An agent of chaos.
Yeah.
That too. I honestly am. No, I'm an agent, vendor, assistant. Okay? That's what I'm going by. Trish Stratus said it.
Kimmy, I think you did it wrong. Should have done.
Mean?
Agent. Oh, dude.
I mean, she's coming back this weekend anyway. So, like, why aren't we celebrating that? I mean, someone's got to fight off Mariah May.
Oh.
And I'll be at Revolution. I'll be there, guys.
Who are you going to be representing at Revolution?
You!
Popbreak.com. That's right, yeah. Bitches. Let's go.
Kimmy, you kind of blew my mind with what you just said there. We didn't get into that. I didn't even think of that, though. Wow. Okay.
Well, have you seen any pictures she has posted and the six-pack abs?
Really?
Hello.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm excited for this.
I do my research, clearly.
Yeah, love it. Guys, so much to talk about. Before we get into like storylines and wrestling and all that kind of stuff, you know, Bill and Amanda especially, I wanted you to be here because we've talked about Sting a lot. But like to me, like Mysterio's my guy. And you know, he's kind of, you know, I'd say he's closer to the end of his career than the beginning. And man, I remember when some of my favorite players on the Nets were traded or retired and like kind of know what you're going
what a
through.
Joke.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. I know what you guys are going through. And like, for me, you know, I came in Ruthless Aggression era, so I didn't really know, Sting as much, man. But just to hear you guys talk about him over the years here on the podcast, you know, connections with family members, watching Sting together. I know some of you got to meet him, some of you got to work with him. Before we get into all this and the storyline and the match, is it right? Is it wrong? Do we like it? Do we hate it? I want to talk about Sting, give him his flowers. Bill, I'll start with you, man, because you came up with the term hashtag fun dad Sting here on the BCP. We had a lot of fun with it. I know people that were backstage with him, and they just said he was, I mentioned that you had said that, and they're like, he's exactly like that. Like, he's very cool, and he's great to the up-and-comers, man. Just anything you want to share about why Sting was your favorite. I think you like Surfer Sting, all that stuff.
Oh, I like any Sting, except Wolfpack Sting, because that was weird. But, I mean, like, the color scheme was cool. Just why he was in the Wolfpack didn't make any sense. So, growing up in the Northeast, like many of us except for Amanda, you know, WWE kid, you know, Channel 5 every Saturday morning watching WWF Superstars, all the stuff on USA, you know, on Sunday mornings. And then one day my dad and I are, you know, you're flipping around the channels on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and there's this other show. It's WCW / Jim Crockett Promotion / the NWA, which was this weird nebulous time where they went by all three names. And there's a match. It's Sting and Ric Flair versus the Great Muta and Dirty Dick Slater. And I was like, my dad and I both were like, oh, hello, what is this? Who is this dude in face paint who wrestles better than the Ultimate Warrior? And that was, Sting was my gateway drug to other wrestling. I realized there was more than WWF out there, and that's why I started watching World Class and USWA and Global and ECW and TNA and OG Ring of Honor and now AEW, New Japan, you name it. It's all because of Sting. It really is. And it's weird because we've never, I mean, Amanda, back me up on this one. We've never really seen someone from our childhood stop wrestling unless tragically they pass away. Like, we literally saw today Ric Flair get in the ring. We've seen Hulk Hogan back in the ring. Like, they never stop. And if people do stop, they're not the big names. They're not like the main event players. Like, so to see Sting, who's in his 60s, like, finally retire and say, okay, this is it. And I don't think you're going to see Sting wrestle ever again. I think his run in AEW, I mean, you could rightfully and wrongfully give Tony Khan all the shit you want about how he books stuff in AEW, but I think no legend has ever been booked more perfectly in a final run than Sting. Like, it absolved his WWE run. And Kimmy, I'm not referencing the Seth Rollins thing because that was a freak accident. It was the Triple H WrestleMania match I thought it was one of the many reasons I don't like Triple H. I thought it wasn't great. I thought it was like, there's a moment to have Sting have his WrestleMania moment, and he really didn't get it. And I thought they've handled it so perfectly that I can't see him wanting to come back after this. And I think that's what's really perfect about it. Sting was the guy who was WCW's flag bearer. Like, when WCW was in the toilet, he was still there, still putting on banger matches. Him and Cactus Jack, him and the Black Scorpion, him and Ric Flair, Vader, and then everything with the NWO. I mean, Amanda, I know you could probably speak to this too. Like, the Sting Crow stuff, especially in the early days, the NWO, it was some of the most exciting, captivating TV ever. Him coming to TNA, like, legitimized TNA. And then AEW. Again, another thing, he legitimized AEW to me because he wasn't a legend that came in, or an ex-WWE guy that came in is cashing a check and is a main event guy. He bought in. He was with Darby Allin. He was jumping off of, you know, like, parts of buildings and doing all this weird stuff. Like, this dude bought into what AEW was. And that says something about Sting. I don't think we're going to ever see another dude like Sting really walk through, like, the curtain again, who is, like, can be mainstream, but is, like, appeals to the hardcore wrestling fans and gets it and actually gave back fully and utterly to the wrestling business, but also, like, had his best run. So I think it's really cool that an arena in Greensboro, very fitting, where he was made at Class of Champions 1, is going to be his final match. And I do, and I like the fact that he's calling his shots in the match he wants. And he wants the Young Bucks. He wants the team with Darby. It's like, win, lose, or draw, this is all Sting's This is what he wants, and he should be able to dictate what he wants. Now I want to hear Amanda talk about her OG thirst trap.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick before we throw it to Amanda, it's interesting, Bill, because in the chat, Calvin said the first match I remember ever watching live was Sting versus Great Muda. So that's crazy.
Those matches were bonkers back in the day. They really, really were.
That's wild. And then David in the chat saying, watching from Cedar Hill, Texas. Well, thanks for tuning in. We got a lot of Texas people here. It's because Amanda's here. This is the goal. We're bringing
Amanda,
them in.
It's because of
the Midwest. Let's go. Amanda, thank you for being here.
The Midwest. It's the South. No,
well, I'm
Come
sorry.
On.
The South. I'm it's late. It is not the Midwest. Yes.
Yeah, you know how tired I was. I totally just let that go.
Yeah, right.
I'm just like, Texas, all I heard was Texas, and that's what matters.
Yes, that's right. That's Boom. Right. Insert drummer joke. But Amanda, like, we were talking off air a little bit, you know, and I was talking to Kimmy. She's like, oh, you know, we got to get Amanda on the podcast because, like, Sting is your guy, and you've said it many times here on the BCP. But I know there's a little bit of a family connection. I know you had the opportunity to meet him a couple times. Just whatever you're comfortable with sharing about why Sting is your guy.
Well, thank you, Kimmy, for having me on and recommending me to be on this panel.
I had to. Rob was going to ask, like, somebody else. I was like, are you out of your damn mind?
That's not true.
That is true. I have the receipts. Amanda, I'll send them to you after this.
Oh, I hope it's on yellow paper, you know.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
Carbon copy.
Did they do that in the old days?
Yeah. Yes, they
carbon
did.
Carbon copy. Yes, they did.
Yeah, Amanda does.
I remember. I remember. Same with scabs.
So this is the only
projectors
time Amanda
and all of that. Yeah,
this is the only time Amanda and I could relate on the same age. It's usually how old is Bill on a podcast.
Kelvin in the chat goes, I was six, so there you go.
Yes,
oh man. So Sting is my favorite wrestler of all time, hands down. And I was trying to figure out what to say without getting super emotional. And here's the trick, guys. If y'all ever don't want to cry or stop yourself from crying, drink water. And it'll stop you from crying.
Really?
So hence my giant.
I can attest
water
to that. That is so true.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's hence why my giant water cup is here. So I first encountered Sting. I've always grown up around wrestling. My tia's house. You know, we were always watching it, and I remember seeing like blonde Sting, and I remember, of course, Ultimate Warrior, and I remember we watched like a combination of WWF. And WCW at the time, or at least, you know, kind of Jim Crockett at the time. So kind of here and there, but it really wasn't until Crow Sting happened. And I had just watched the movie with my dad, which, sorry, Dad, I'm going to out you on this one. We was not supposed to watch it, but we did. And that's how I watched most movies with my dad, was when my mom wasn't around. And I loved the movie. And I had to go back and do the math. Said it was 8. It was actually 10, and remember seeing Sting rappelling down the rafters, and it was during the NWO Black and White, you know, he was the Avenger, kind of the Dark Avenger run, seeing him rappel down the rafters, and my, you know, just happened to pass by, and I was like, wow, he looks just like the guy I just saw in this movie. And I sat down next to my dad, and I was like, Dad, who's this? And I just started asking a million questions. Because I was super fascinated with Sting, huge crush. It's almost like, hello, hi. That crush has existed since I was 10 and still continues to this day. And of course, when I see him, I'm like, hi. I turn into that nerdy, that real nerdy, like high school kid. This, yep. You know, the inside of my locker, you know, there was a Nine Inch Nails Trent Reznor section, the JC Chazet from NSYNC section, and the Steve Gordon. Yes, the Steve Gordon section in my locker. So I told him
that NSYNC was a boy band that Justin Timberlake
was. I know that part. I know that part.
And Nine Inch Nails, best rock band ever. So there you go. Everybody who, I'm a Nine Inch Nails stan for life, and I will defend them to the death. But anyway, so I just head over heels. I was just like the dreamiest. Sting was like the dreamiest guy ever. I'm going to embarrass myself on the internet. And so there was this website when we were in high school that we found that you could print virtual marriage certificates and pretend to marry different people. Did I marry Steve Borden? Why, yes, I did. Steve, we've been married since 2000. No, 1999. So you're welcome.
Wow. Happy silver anniversary.
I'm here for it.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I just had a huge crush on him, but what was great about it was he got me to sit down with my dad. And my dad and I bonded through wrestling. It started with watching TV with him every Monday and every Thursday. And then, you know, we would switch between when my mom was in the room, of course, watching WCW. And then we would switch to WWF when she stepped out of the room. and then we would go to live shows. Sting would come, you know, and we would, my dad and I would go to live shows together. And then, you know, when Sting joined TNA, we would still go as they were touring here. We were there and we went to Dallas when he was inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. So we were there in person for that on the floor. I still remember it very vividly. And so with my dad, we had this really unique bonding experience. So it translated from watching mainstream wrestling, going to mainstream shows, and then into indie wrestling. And of course, that's where my love of wrestling began, was with Sting. And to be fair, my life would not be if I hadn't sat down as a 10-year-old kid with my dad. My life, I don't think I would have met half the people I've been privileged in my life to meet because of wrestling. You know, I had my brief moment in the sun in the business for a little bit. Obviously, I was able to connect with you guys and so many of my other friends. I'm a co-host now of two different podcasts. And again, just looking back at that time in my life, I never would have thought. And obviously, on a personal note, I give my man, my short king, a lot of crap. It's my job. But I never would have met the love of my life.
Oh.
If I didn't sit down,
That's more embarrassing than the marriage certificate. You just put that out on the internet.
I did. And you're welcome, Brandon Weiss. You're welcome.
That's right.
I never would have met him and connected, I think, with all the people in my life if it wasn't for Sting. So all I have to say to you, Sting / Steve Borden, thank you. That's all I have to say on that. Thank you for everything you've given us in the ring. And thank you for helping me fall in love with wrestling and for being very patient as I geek out in your line every time I'm there. So thank you.
Love it. That was wonderful. Good night, everybody. Wow, man.
Thanks.
How do you top
just
that?
Send that to AEW and have them run that before the match.
Right.
Everyone's crying.
There's the clip. real quick in the chat, Calvin, dang, Amanda bringing the onions out early tonight. Sheesh. Oh, man. A shout out to the Short King in the chat as well. But Amanda, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that, man. something in my eye. Kimmy, let's throw it to you. You've had the opportunity to work with Sting a few times. Just anything you feel comfortable with sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I've been here since the 80s. Clearly, like a million 10 years ago, I've been here from the start. No. So I actually had this conversation with an agent a couple weeks ago, and I was like, you know, it's so crazy that I'm going to Revolution and I miss like Sting's prime. And he sat there and he goes, oh shit, you're right. You missed the whole thing. And I go, I know, right? Isn't so sad. Because I was born in 2001, and by that point, WCW didn't even exist anymore.
Amanda and Sting were married for like two or three years by that time.
I know. Yeah. But Sting has a very important part in my convention journey, because he's the first headliner that I was ever trusted to work with. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't do anything I'm doing right now, and I wouldn't work with his agent. So it worked out pretty good for me, and I get to see him two more times, like, in the next month, so that's kind of cool. And by the way, I'm the reason why Sting knows that Bill called him Fun Dad Sting.
Oh, cool. There you go. All right, awesome.
You're welcome.
Very, very cool. We'll go to the chat real quick, and thank you guys for sharing that. How about in the chat too, if you guys have any Sting memories or anything you want us to shout out real quick about Sting, man. I think, you know, that's the most important thing about tonight's show, just giving Sting his flowers for sure. Bubba John in the chat dropping by to say hi. Guys, Kim and I have to run out. Have a great show. Reese in the chat, hi Rob, Kimmy, Bill, and Amanda. Guys, thanks for tuning in. You know, let's hear those Sting memories and let's get into our first match. Ooh, I want to talk about Will Ospreay versus Takeshita. I'm going to say it, man, and I think I've been pretty on point with these picks. I mean, and it's an easy one. I don't think anyone's going to push back on this. Possible match of the year right here. I am hyped for this one. Bill, tell me I'm wrong.
For once, I won't.
Hey,
This is going to be great. I mean, we if you were at Dynamite, the first one of this year at the Prudential Center, you saw him and Takeshita and Darby, and him just destroy him with like a rolling German suplex on the pile, like the outside. So we know that's going to come at some point because Will Ospreay is insane, and we'll definitely take that bump. But Ospreay can't miss right now, man. I know there's certain people on this podcast who don't like him because he argued with Seth Rollins one time on the internet, but
multiple times.
Yeah, I still count that as one time because it was the same year in the same conversation. But I think, man, like Ospreay, I've been watching Ospreay forever. Like he was like skinny little guy in PWG, and I was just like, I don't get it. He just does these twirly little kicks, and it's not great. And he has evolved into a completely great wrestler in all aspects. If you have not seen the New Japan War Games match between United Empire and the Bullet Club War Dogs, go watch that. It's amazing. He's the new guy. He's the new Kenny Omega for AEW, because let's face it, Kenny Omega is on, you know, he's not at the beginning. He's getting towards the back end of the career, and he's going to be that guy delivering all those matches the same way Bryan Danielson is right now. And this with Takeshita is just going to be, could this be the feud that they keep coming back to over and over and over again throughout the years? I really hope so, because both those guys are great. So you're right, Rob. This is, I know some people are like, you got to let the storyline marinate a little bit more. I think this is just the beginning of the story, because I don't think Will Ospreay is long for the Don Callis family. So I think this is going to be, if he got over in Alabama as big as he did, imagine how much of a reaction he's going to get around the horn for AEW. So, I mean, Will Ospreay is going to be a babyface real soon. So this is going to be great.
I love it, Bill. And I'll actually agree with you. Like, obviously, I like being invested in storylines, like connecting to characters and stuff. But he's like just coming in, and he's kind of, you know, he's been there. And I think this is just like the perfect match. Like, you know, we had a little segment tonight. Like, we don't need to deep dive into this just yet. Like, go out there, show up, show out. And Ospreay has the win. Did you pick a winner, Bill?
I said I agree with you. It's going to be Ospreay.
Love it. On the YouTube chat, Paulie, you guys are my favorite wrestling podcast. You guys just make me smile. Sending you all lots of love and positivity. Thank you, man. That's what we're going for here. Kimmy, what do you think about this match?
This is the match I'm going to walk out of the arena. This is the one.
What?
No, I'm done. No. Like, I'm not even going to ask Will a question on the scrum. Okay. Like, no.
Wait, why? What am I missing?
She hates him because
I hate him. We talked
went
about
after
this.
Seth Rollins one time.
Oh, here we go.
It was all not right. One time. It was not one time.
Bruv.
I don't care.
Bruv.
Bruv.
I don't care.
Bruv. Bruv.
I don't care.
Bruv.
The Dumbo's going to
settle down, bruv. Settle down. So he
you're,
said.
Mm.
He said, I mean, I'm just impersonating the
Do you want to pick a winner, Kimmy, at least, or not really?
It's obviously going to be the idiot who just signed.
Whoa!
And then he's going
wow.
to turn.
Wow!
Game calling.
Jesus!
And oh, then geez. He's going to turn Don Callis' family, and then by full gear, he'll challenge Swerve for the title.
All right. Long-term
Boom.
Booking.
Wembley.
Kelvin in the chat saying
no,
this is a
Wembley.
Match of the year easily. I agree with that. Great introduction to the AEW audience. This match is important for AEW's future. That said, Ospreay will win. Amanda, do you think Will Ospreay will win here? And what do you think of this match?
I would love it if Amanda just shit talks Will Ospreay right now. Like, nicest person knows. She's like, hey, Will Ospreay's a piece of shit. And I'm like,
I actually like Will Ospreay. Like, minus outside of, you know, the Seth Rollins kind of deal. I mean, he's you know, he's a hell of a wrestler. It's just the like understatement of the year. But, you know, I mean, the caliber of talent in this match cannot be denied. And this is a soup. This is such a, this is definitely going to be, I think, a match of the year contender for sure, too. Like it, this is going to cement Will Ospreay as one of the biggest AEW acquisitions ever. And they really need more younger, fresher, you know, talent at this point, because you know a lot of your cornerstones are kind of your aging, who's bringing the eyes right now, a lot of your aging superstars on your roster that are not going to be on your roster for much longer. So you really need somebody who's going to bring the bang for the buck, who is going to, you know, just showstopper after showstopper. And that's what Will Ospreay is known for. He's known for the crazy bumps and the wrists and the spots that he takes, and this is going to be no different. This is going to be one of these you know, I think you're going to see a really awesome mix of just great wrestling technique, you know, especially with the history that these two have. Great wrestling technique. You're going to see the crazy viral moments and the spots that I think both are known for, the intensity behind the story. It's not a very long marinating story. I agree, Rob, you know, I'm a fan of storytelling, and good storytelling and solid storytelling, but sometimes you don't need it. And in this case, I don't think there needs to be a very long-term, there didn't need to be a long-term build. I mean, the caliber of the match itself is great. And so I'm here for this. I feel like this is one of the matches I'm actually most excited to watch for the pay-per-view, because I feel like we're going to see even more than what we expect, because this is Will Ospreay's debut. This is his big moment. So I really feel like we're going to see some crazy, good stuff that the rest of the card is going to have to work really hard to keep up with. So this is, I feel like the placement is probably going to maybe be like midway.
You know, I think it's going to open.
Do you?
Ooh.
I've done that before.
That's a good point. I either thought like midway or even starting, but I feel like they might be good to just get the crowd pumped back in.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
You know, in the middle of the pay-per-view, because sometimes, you know, we kind of fade just depending on, you know, what happens. And then I really feel like this could just re-energize the crowd and get the crowd pumped the rest of the night if they don't open. But I'm here for it. I'm here to see I'm just expecting a beautiful wrestling match between these two. And I'm excited for that.
Very well said. Reese in the chat saying this will be another stock elevating match for Takeshita, but Ospreay wins. Yeah. I think this will be good, and I like what you said, Amanda, about it being the midway point. Like this, at the same time, it's going to be that match where they go back behind the curtain. It's going to be follow that. You know, I think it's going to be that damn good for sure. Someone is listing Randy Orton, the song lyrics. I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand in the chat. Okay. all right, sure. A little Randy Orton quote in there. Let's go to Kimmy. You kind of hinted at this, so I'm going to throw it to you first. Toni Storm, the champion, is going to be defending against Deonna Purrazzo. So great to see her finally at AEW for the AEW Women's World Championship on the line. I had my pick ready to go. And Kimmy, you know, we're starting to talk about Sting, and you throw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. And now I'm thinking other things, and I just went, and
I'm
like,
still picking Toni Storm.
Okay.
I'm not picking Deonna. So this is the problem, right? Go. So I've known Deonna since I was 14 years old. So me and her, but way back, right? So I texted Rob this story that the last time I saw her in person before she made her AEW debut, I went up to her and I was like, so you go on WWE? Flat out, because I knew she was going to give me an answer either way. And she told me at that point that no one had contacted her yet. So little scary things going on. But luckily, Toni decided to pick up the phone. Thank God. So here's my thing. Deonna is not going to be the one to defeat Toni. This was my fear, actually, because you're bringing someone in new to lose on the big show, and people want her to come down to Ring of Honor, and that's not happening. Sorry. But yeah, so obviously Toni has a friend. Deonna has a friend. And that friend has been missing since October. Did you know that, Rob?
I had been reminded a few times, gently.
Yeah. And, you know, she's been tweeting a lot that she's been working out. And I believe she's going to be someone's Monet's big first feud in AEW. So I think she needs to come back at the pay-per-view and not have some random-ass episode of Dynamite, which is why Britt will come here to go goodbye to Mariah. But it won't be enough and Toni will still win. But yes, Britt's going to come back and then Britt's going to feud with Mercedes. And then everyone's going to boo-hoo-hoo on Twitter.
Okay, so Britt comes back to cost Deonna the match?
She's just coming back to try to help her, but it's not going to work.
Oh, okay, so same, because they, and we've talked to her about, like, people have wanted that Britt-Deonna match for, they want
it'll
it for
happen.
Such, oh, of course, but I thought eventually maybe you were going that direction, like Britt costs her, and then we get the feud.
Because then, this is what's going to happen to Big Business, is Mercedes is going to come out, and then Britt's going to be like, yo, this is my show. Like, who are you? And then that's going to be the match of Double or Nothing.
That's a good match. That's a good match. I'm here for that match. Okay.
You know who it's been approved by, actually? Jimmy Hart. Because me and Jimmy Hart had a whole conversation about this.
Name
I mean,
drop.
Me as well.
Old name dropper
Jones.
I gotta
pick up these name drops to get the dustpan.
I was like, you know something, Kimmy?
That's literally how we talk. That's the set.
Yo, Kelvin in the chat checking in, though. And Kelvin, we got to have him back on the show soon because he always brings a lot. He goes, fam, I was thinking Jamie Hayter. Okay. I don't know what her timeline is, but I'd be here for that as well.
She was in the States a couple weeks ago.
All right, Kelvin. I like that, man. This is why you guys are here. I'm gonna stick with my original plan here. I'm going to go Deonna to be the one just come dethrone Tony because Tony is better, not necessarily
Rob,
chasing.
Not biased towards Italian female wrestlers from New Jersey.
That's so fair, dude.
Yes, when I said it.
That's it. Bill totally catching me off guard, man. I don't even know what I was saying.
You should see the stuff I say just to bring him offline.
Anyway.
I congratulate him many times about this. He's just like, please stop.
Amazing cooking. I think Tony is not necessarily better chasing, I mean, bright red, but also better complaining to get the title and better in losing. I'm here for it. I love Luther. I love everything they're doing. I think everyone doesn't need the championship. How many times have we said that on this show? Better, not necessarily chasing, like I said, but better complaining. Nothing wrong with a talent the caliber of Deonna Purrazzo coming in and dethroning Toni Storm. And they know each other. You know, maybe knows the Achilles heel. They told a little bit of a story there. I'm excited to see this play out. I'm all in on Deonna. Although, Kimmy, I think you bring up some great points. I don't disagree with you. I just didn't think of that. I'm going to stick with the script on this one. We'll play it safe. Like most things in life, I'm going to go with Deonna to win here. Amanda,
so now,
what do you
wait,
think?
I have a question.
Okay.
Before we get to Amanda, I have a question for you. So that means you're okay with Deonna losing it to Mercedes at Double or Nothing?
Hold on.
Wait,
I didn't
well,
get
first
that
off,
far.
You know, let's.
Yeah, yikes.
I mean, you're not going to have her win there. You have a winner at the biggest show of the year, man.
I'm on Revolution.
You have to think steps ahead, Rob.
You're right.
You
I agree with that. So say this to me again, Kimmy. So
you're
I'm
okay
with
Deonna losing it to Mercedes at Double or Nothing if my Brit thing doesn't pan out.
I'm okay with that match. I think that would be a cool match. Let's get some storytelling. I don't want to hot potato that title by any means, but I'd be here for some Deonna versus Mercedes. At what you said, Double or Nothing?
Correct.
I'm here. I'm okay with that.
Unless it's Dynasty, because that happened today.
Okay. Lot of moving parts here. Amanda, a lot going into this. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, there is quite a bit going into this. And this one was actually tough. I actually sat and thought about this for a while. First of all, I just hope that this match gets its time. I always worry. It should, especially as being the only women's match on the card that I can see. Unless, Kim, you've got updates. I just hope that they get their time. So please, please, please. And I know this match is going to be a banger. It's going to be fantastic. These two women have a history. They know each other. I think you're going to see if the time is given to them, which it should. A really, really great women's match. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that in general, just from a wrestling standpoint in terms of technique. You know, I went back and forth a lot on this one because, you know, Toni Storm is doing great things with Mariah and with Luther. And I love the black and white. I love the persona that she's created for herself. This is such a fun evolution of Toni Storm. And I feel like she's gotten to the point where, you know, I'm with you, Rob. I actually feel like if she is okay to drop the title to Deonna, because Deonna, she comes in, she has, you know, the pedigree. She has the TNA backing. Like, you see all the accomplishments that she has done. So she comes in with the clout already. But I feel like, you know, if Toni drops the title, she'll be able to maybe, you know, kind of go to the next step in her character evolution and her story evolution, and not just kind of plateau, because, you know, again, she and Luther, they're all doing great things. It's just, you don't want the character to become stale. And so I hope that, you know, we get to see the next evolution of Toni Storm with this loss. But man, Kimmy just threw like a monkey wrench too. Like, I'm, I, yeah. Like, I'm like, I didn't even think about the possibility of Britt coming back. I was kind of along the lines of Jamie Hayter actually coming in, but that's a really good point. So, I mean, I think I'm still going to ride with Yana on this one, just because, again, she's got the pedigree, she's got, you know, and I think it's going to open the door for more challengers to come in. And again, Mercedes, I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to seeing this match happen. I'm sure that we'll find a way to keep the title on Deanna for as long as possible before she finally drops it to Mercedes, probably maybe at the big show, you know, but basically at this point, I'm going to go with Deanna on this one. I'm going to go on a risk because, again, I went back and forth and I feel like it's going to go to Deanna.
Yeah, I think, obviously I agree with you. I picked the same thing. Real quick, Reese in the chat, this match was too soon, but Peraza will get the title. Oh, Peraza will get the title sooner or later, but Storm is too hot to drop right now. Kelvin in the chat, AEW women's division is absolutely insane right now. Bill, help us out. We're all over the place.
All right, so this is I gave this zero thought going into, like, but I want to tell you, I gave zero thought to anything but my Sting stuff, so this is all off the cuff. Let's not put the belt on Mercedes just yet. Let's do something AEW has never done, because this is why this match is pivotal. Let's have 3 to 4 major storylines happening at the same time in the women's division. Because here's what has to happen. Toni Storm has to lose that belt whenever she does because of Mariah May. That's the breaking point there. If Deonna Purrazzo does get the title, she and Jamie Hayter should be on a collision course. I think you have one stop before that with Serena Deeb, and then you have Jamie Hayter. You then have Mercedes and Britt. That's where you want to go. And maybe you even have a little detour with Britt. Before Britt, maybe you do Mercedes and Saraya, for example. There's ways you can go. That's ultimately what I'd like to see. Because then we also have this Chris Statlander, Willow, Stokely thing that's happening, which could lead to other people coming in. There's a lot of moving parts in the women's division. This is ultimately what I want to see. So I think it's too early right now for Tony to drop the title to Deanna, because I feel like you either because of the way the Mariah May story is, she has to, you know, she has to be spurned, because they're doing this All About Eve story. So she has to be spurned more by Tony. So that could be because she accidentally makes Tony lose and they eventually fall out from there. But I think, depending on when Jamie Hayter comes back, I think we have Toni Storm retain here. Go a little further down the road. Deanna eventually gets that belt. And I think the belt doesn't go to Mercedes after Deanna. I think it goes back to Jamie Hayter. And I think we get a down the road, originally what I think we were going to eventually get was Jamie Hayter and Mercedes. And that match, that's the money match, as much as I love Britt Baker, and I do love Britt Baker. Go check out her interview that a certain Kimmy did with her and Adam Cole on thepopbreak.com. I am nothing but a shameless company man. But I think Jamie and Mercedes is a huge money fight for AEW. That should be a pay-per-view headliner. Mercedes and Britt Baker.
Did we lose Bill?
But there is.
Oh, there we go.
You're back.
You're back. You're glitching.
He's glitching.
Bill.
Glitching the matrix.
Oh,
he just blew this panel away with the prediction.
Yeah, I know.
Happened.
Blew my
and
mind.
He blew the
I think you're good, Bill.
I think you're
frozen?
Good.
No, I think he's still
he's
frozen.
Frozen. We'll get him back.
Oh,
don't
no.
worry. We'll get you
again,
back, Bill.
He blew the feed because it was really where he was going was very good.
It is nice. And I'll say,
and now I have returned.
Hey,
I am on my internet extender.
I was going to say, you definitely did an internet thing. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
good.
I did.
Go ahead.
So my whole thing is, I think it's Jamie Hayter eventually gets that title, and then it's Mercedes and Jamie is the big money main event pay-per-view headliner for them down the road.
That's good stuff.
My prediction is Toni Storm retains.
It's good stuff because, like, we're all like pitching these theories and returns and marquee matches, and I think that makes it more exciting, you know, the fact that we see all these happening, we're more invested right now. And this is just a one-on-one match. Obviously, you know, Tony has, you know, help in her corner with Luther and Mariah May. Maybe Britt comes in and helps Deanna on her.